This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Problem I have, certainly not something I'd bring up to my dad. If only there were a podcast that could help me out. It's for people like me that this show's about. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I send my problems to If I Were You Show at gmail.com. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I send my problems to If I Were You Show at gmail.com.
Beautiful. That's an Edward John parody or cover or something.
Yeah, it's an Elton John parody.
John Elway parody. Love to hear it. Love to sing
Elton
it.
John.
Love to be
an
it.
Elton John.
And that
it's
one
called,
came to us from Tyler. Jordan. From Louisville.
All
wow.
What you're saying is bad.
Okay. And his band camp is okay. It's
no,
a El, John
guess.
Elway pass.
You obviously don't know.
And it came to us from Jordan Johnson from
no.
Louisville and his band.
That's correct. He is from Louisville.
Really?
But everything else you said was wrong.
Okay. The SoundCloud
no.
is Louisville born and bred.
Actually, that was it was a Your Song parody. You know, that Elton John cover.
That's right.
And it was by Jason Mraz.
Whoa. It's like a mix of...
John Mraz.
Oh, okay.
Jason Mraz.
Jason Mraz and Bruno Mars. And that's kind of what it sounded like.
Yeah, Mraz being short for Marzulkowski, of course. So John Mraz, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And the only thing he'd like to plug is the continued long-term advocacy for the BLM movement.
Hell yes. I'm sorry I took so long to get to his friggin' shout out then. Good man. Thank you.
Great man. And great song.
Much better than I.
Recorded on his voice memos, he says. So apologies for the shoddy audio.
Wow.
I was going to say that it was a little shoddy. But
okay.
He did
he's a noble
good with it.
He's a noble man. I made fun of him before I knew any of this
shit.
It was
absolute shoddy-o. And for that, I'm only going to play it once. So thank you for that.
Whoa, shoddy-o.
Actually, I'm going to send him my microphone since this is my last episode. I'm retiring from podcasting.
That's
I'm going to sort of
great
yeah,
to
change
hear.
Careers.
That's amazing. I'm so glad to hear
I'm going
to
follow my passion.
Nice.
I
don't
starting
care.
Starting right after this.
Yeah, well, I don't care what it is. All right, but sweet. So you're out of it. You're out of this.
Well, not really.
And you're
onto
something better or worse or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're finally...
I'll stay if you want.
Did you have a plan?
My my plan was for you to beg me to stay, and suddenly I can lord it over you. I can start slipping a little bit, and I can say shit like, well, I didn't want to stay. I'm doing this for you, so why don't you do this thing for a little bit?
Okay, so it's fully backfired, and now you revealed your plan. You revealed your evil plan, for, I guess, for through just me asking a single question, which seems early to reveal the whole
plan.
The
problem was, the full story is yeah. that my girlfriend pulled this move, and it's like working on her end.
So you shouldn't be sharing this much.
And I'm like, please, 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 I'll change whatever. So now I'm doing everything. And so I'm like, this is actually sucks, but I'll fucking do it for
So she's doing something really shitty to you, and your reaction isn't to grow or learn from it. It's to just turn around and do it to someone else. You're a bad guy.
Like, that's a pretty good idea.
You're a small man.
Well, she's not talking to me, so I'll say that to myself. And then I'm like, I'm going to do that to Jake. I'm going to be like, I'm going to head out and follow my passion or whatever. Obviously, I don't have a passion. Like, I don't like to do anything.
Yeah.
And then you were going to say, no, don't. I'll do anything. And then, like, you would have to do this show mostly and do, like, all the work. And I'll be like, I didn't want to be here anymore. Right. I wanted to follow my passion. And you fucking dragged me back.
So in your dream world, your girlfriend is sort of manipulated and made you sad and is lording something over you. You're miserable. But then you also get to lord something over me. Making me feel bad and shitty. That was like the goal. That's what you hoped would happen
in a dream world.
You're still getting manipulated by somebody.
I was gonna say, yeah, in a dream world, she'd be nice to me if I could choose everything. But like having had that reality, starting from there, I'm out. Like, I want to sort of shift from there going forward. But
okay,
all right, well, forget I said anything.
No, I feel like an ass. But like when you said you were going to retire, I just like on the sly, I threw out a text. So I already have a co-host. So like
it happened 2 seconds ago, and I already changed my mind. Yeah. I actually regret it.
I know, but I can't like fucking. Go like I can't take back an offer. No, not like that.
Who did you text that was offer only? You already offered it and they accepted.
Yeah, it was Dave. Yeah, man. I'm gonna record.
So just tell
this
him
podcast.
That it was a miscommunication. Tell him that like this is.
I can't do that. Actually, I fucking grew up with Dave Rosenberg. Like he's one of my best friends.
What do you want me to say now? Like from a goof, from a joke, you offered the co-hosting gig to Dave. He accepted.
Making me into an asshole, but like you, it wasn't a joke or a goof. It was a designed ploy to get me to feel bad and to lord something over me and host the podcast with me under your thumb. So that's not like, that's not like a goof. You don't just take that back. It was a coup d'etat, and I turned it into a coup faux gras.
Yeah, it really was. It was a coup faux pas, more than anything. That you're hosting with my father.
A coup faux pas is really good. That's a good name for this episode. Let's call it the coup faux pas.
It won't make sense to people. I guess Dave's in charge.
Finally, at this moment, at minute eight, it'll make sense.
And then it'll stop making sense starting at minute 9 again.
Mm-hmm. When we forgot this ever happened.
All right. I guess let's take advantage of it. Hey, welcome to If I Were You, an advice podcast hosted for now by me. I'm Amir.
And me, Jake, with my future co-host, Dave. He's not here right now, but yeah, he'll get on board.
As always, these are real questions from real people. People are still sending in their problems, even though they're in lockdown.
Bad things can still happen. I mean,
yeah, life is still bad for
still
some.
Still complicated,
so
for sure.
Questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's read this one, which was, how do I lock down a girl during lockdown?
Okay. I imagine these will be a lot of the questions that we get during lockdown.
Help! My friend's sister is outrageously hot and I've crushed on her for ages, but only reconnected with them a month ago before Coronapalooza. They both want me to come over soon so we can all get high together, and I get the impression that the sister in particular wants me over because she keeps asking about it. Should I go for it now, despite cases in my state continuing to rise? What if she gets tired of waiting and goes for a more devil-may-care type? The friend is on board and a total wingman, so I feel confident about my chances if I really went for it. But I don't want to get sick or pass it on to anyone else. Thanks, love. And then this girl gave a fake name.
Okay, so a friend, this girl wants to hook up with her friend's sister?
Yeah, and they invited her over to get high.
The sister is going to be the wingman?
That's what she says. The friend is on board and a total wingman.
Dope. I feel like you're going to be more cautious than I am, so I'll let you answer the question.
Well, she says she doesn't want to get sick or pass it on to anyone else. You obviously can't get high with two other people if you don't want to get sick. That's how you get sick, is you're sucking on a joint and licking a bong and doing a smoke fucking ring, a vape trick or two. And then eventually one of the aerosol particles leaves her mouth. She's infected, obviously. You're not smoking through a mask. That's not devil may care. That's devil's lettuce. You're getting high on her own supply, aka COVID-19. And you are 19, which means it's probably fine for you. But where do you live? At home? With a relative? Perhaps a great uncle?
Yeah, she lives with her great uncle.
They're going to get infected and be like, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Mortimer, but I wanted to hook up.
Uncle Morty. Apologize. Uncle Morty is now dead because of you.
Yeah.
How's that? How's that for devil may care? Devil did care. Devil took Morty. Devil took him right down to Georgia. Okay?
Yeah. And yeah. He cared a lot.
Yeah.
You hand-delivered him someone. So it does sound cool and fun, but I'm afraid there is a risk of you getting sick.
There's definitely a risk. You could do a Zoom getting high hang. You could do, people are doing social distanced, backyard, outside. It depends where you live, obviously. But if the cases are low in your city, you could do like an outside hang. I guess you're trying to hook up with somebody, and it seems like that's just not in the cards these days. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, she says cases are rising, so maybe she's like a Florida, Arizona, California girl.
Yeah, that's no bueno. That is no bueno.
What about if they can adopt the NBA philosophy? You get tested, and then you go to Orlando. Okay, that's the bubble. Quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. Sister, you, sister's friend, all in three different rooms. You test when you get there. Then you quarantine for 14 days, regardless of the results, because it might be a false positive. And then if at the end of the 2 weeks you get tested again and it's another negative, obviously, then you can get high with them with some peace of mind, knowing that you have a devil may care, who gives a shit attitude.
That's cool. And then when you go home, you got to quarantine for 2 weeks there away from Uncle Morty. So that's a month. That's 1 month of your time for one night of wild fucking. And maybe that's worth it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So you're sort of, you're like casual, like who gives a shit? But at the same time, you're like, let's spend 2 weeks at a fucking Hampton Inn. And you have to make sure that the hotel room wasn't used in the last week either.
I don't know what it's like to be single right now, but I imagine I would be doing stuff like that. Like, I would sit in a room for 2 weeks to get laid, I think. I quarantine somewhere.
A two-week pre-date to quarantine. Then you get tested and then you go on one date. It's not that, it's coffee like, with someone.
It's like Love is Blind. They didn't see each other. They talked kind of in two separate pods for a couple weeks. Then they proposed to each other. Then they got married. That's Love is Blind. And that's what we're doing right now. It's the perfect show for quarantine. You can learn a lot that show.
You can also get like have meet up in a way that's a little more safe than indoors getting high. Like if you guys are outside wearing masks mostly and getting high. But then, you know, the whole hooking up part isn't very social distant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the part that's tough. But I mean, you could hang out a decent amount and then you'll decide how much you like them, how much you want them before you decide to take the risk.
That's cool.
If you're you want a couple like safe social distance dates and you're like, this person's great, I really want to hook up with them, it's going to be worth it to wait 2 weeks to quarantine, to take two COVID tests, to fucking make out with my dream friend's sister.
COVID tests here are free. Is that the case everywhere? Do you know New York City people handing out free tests when necessary?
I think my brother paid like $20 for his or something. It was cheap. I don't think it was free. He got a free antibodies test.
Wow. And no antibodies?
He hasn't gotten the results.
Don't answer that. That's against his Hippocratic oath. We can't answer that question.
I don't think it is. Maybe. Okay.
We can't disclose that information.
I've been subpoenaed.
Holy shit.
I've been served.
What does it say?
What the fuck?
Just for saying you're not sure or he didn't get his results yet?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
A cease and desist because I released the list.
A cease and insist, as in they're suggesting I go to prison for this.
For incest.
What was I going to ask about testing? Oh, yeah. If you're positive, you shouldn't pay. So you should only pay if you wasted their time getting a negative result. It's like, you could have just assumed you were negative. You have to pay me $40. But if you actually have corona, it's like, it's good you did the test and this one's on the house. What do you think of that idea?
That's great. And if they're trying to like make you pay, if you have coronavirus and they're like, okay, well, that'll be $100 for the test. It's like, oh, okay, let me get my wallet. And then you start going, like coughing in their direction and they kind of like back away, you know?
That's cool. Yeah. So then they think that
like,
you
there's
have
a way to get this test for free.
Yeah. That's cool. And you then when you go to get the test, yeah. When you get the test, you shouldn't take your mask off because you could be like, this is too unsafe. And they're like, we have to swab your nose. You have to spit in a cup. You have to do something like that. And you're like, I'm not taking this fucking mask off. You better tell me if I'm sick or not without me like bending over and kowtowing to your policy or whatever.
I'm not going to kowtow.
Yeah. So you're too busy not kowtowing. They're testing, I don't know, they'll figure it out, probably your ear or something, or they'll find a way to like get it through your eye or some shit.
Yeah.
And then if you get like a positive, then it's like you really had it because they were able to tell even while you were still wearing a mask.
Sweet. So how did your test go?
I was forcibly removed from the urgent care center for making a series of demands.
I thought so.
I assume I do have it because as I was leaving, the nurse said, hey, everybody that got a test positive, can you help me spit this guy out of here?
Are you trying to get your test still? Are you trying to go to the like Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I had an appointment and then I read some harrowing tweets about how the lines were like 2 to 3 hours long. So I said, all right, maybe I don't need to get a test right now since I'm feeling fine.
Do you still feel fine?
Yeah. Unfortunately. Just give me a fucking reason to go. I want to know. I want to get some data. I want to be like, when I look at the stats, I want like, you know, to look at one of those numbers and know that like, that's me right there, recovered, asymptomatic.
Yeah.
A case where nobody had it. Or how many people were tested today in America? 600,000? That would have been 599 without me.
Are you partaking in any behavior that would result in you potentially getting it?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm walking around my neighborhood with a mask. So there's a slight risk. I'm going to a grocery store every once in a while. Slight risk. I attended a rooftop phone booth party, which is like, see how many people you can cram into like a rooftop pool phone booth area.
I feel so like
that's like a risk.
That's a huge risk.
And I did some yard work out front, but I was wearing a gas mask.
That's probably a very, very, very
slight risk.
I mean,
so
you
between
went
the
to...
phone booth party and the yard work.
There's nothing less believable than you doing yard work. Let's move on.
Very good. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. And I can't wait to hear your unsolicited advice. I know you've dived nose deep into this new hobby of yours. So you are not going to want to miss this.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck.
We'll be back after these messages. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. No, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitness yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
Gross.
You know, I don't know if this is like unsolicited advice, but it's just something that I got into like like a 50-year-old man or something. I signed up for an Ancestry.com account. I have no idea why. I feel like
it was a really convincing banner ad.
I'm too young to give a shit. but it's kind of interesting. Like you fill in, I did like a free trial and you like fill in your parents and their parents and everything you know. And then like, it just links you with a bunch of other people who have also done it and like done way more work than I have. And then it just like helps you fill in your family tree.
So how is this not more than like 30 minutes? Like, are you then going back to the website and filling in more stuff, interviewing more people, trying to grow the tree? Like, how is it an active community?
People like add stuff all the time. There's like, at least like in my family tree, I'm finding like images scanned of like immigration manifests in like New York in 1903 and stuff. And then there's like baptism records in England from 1658. Like,
yeah. Related to your family or just like, they're just bragging?
No, just fucking pictures that I can see. Oldest baptism record from Wembley.
So what have you learned?
I guess not really that much that I didn't know. Maybe the most interesting thing is that like a solid portion of my family on like my grandma's side lived in Nova Scotia for a very, very long time. So I never really thought that I had a relationship to Canada. I feel like when I was growing up, my mom was like, you're English, Irish on my side, and on your dad's side, you're Austrian and Russian. And I'm like, all right, that makes sense. And then I like, it is mostly true, but it's kind of interesting because with this thing, you can see like your 10th great grandfather's name and where they came from. I mean, on my dad's side, he doesn't know the name of his father's grandparents. So that limb of my tree is dead. I can't get any further back.
It has rotted down to the branches, dried off and crumbled. Does that mean other people in your distant family have done this and you're seeing their data as well?
Yeah, there's like some people that I can see like, oh, like my straight up cousin Navua did this, and I'm like, and I can tap into her tree. Like she might have spent like hours on this thing, but I just get to cheat. I'm like, oh yeah, my grandma's grandma, that I can link that, and I get that, I have access to that entire tree branch now.
Got it.
So, because like, I mean, once you go far enough back, like there's, the branches are so
vast.
Yeah, that like you can just tap into another network, and like I find out like the maiden name of my great-great-grandmother, and then it's like potential father, potential mother like shows up, and then you can kind of like link that. It's interesting.
I see. So then does it tell you like, all right, this person might be a distant cousin of yours and they live in New York City, or is that like a privacy issue?
I guess they might tell you that. I've only been dicking around on it for like 48 hours, but I'm kind of super into it. We'll check back later.
And how did you get into it?
I have no idea. I think like every once in a while, I guess something I like doing is like asking about like old, I like seeing like old photo albums. I like finding out addresses. Like I think my grandma wrote like a book, like a fake little book in like third grade about where she was growing up. It was like one of her school books, and it had her address in it. And on one of my cross country drives, I like found the address and I found her old house. So I like family history stuff like that.
I see.
And this was like an extension of that, I guess, driven by boredom of being in lockdown.
Is Jill part of it? Like, is your married family part of the tree, or is that you don't get access to that?
Well, Jill could make an account. I think I could maybe do that. I'm not entirely sure. I've only been looking at like where my ancestors came from, though. In theory, like, yeah, like if Jill and I have a child, then like our two branches link.
Wow.
And then
that's almost reason enough.
Yeah, she's part all of these other people. It's crazy, though. It is really, it's wild.
Have you done 23andMe?
I have done 23andMe.
Is this sort of related to that? Like,
yeah. But you know, 23andMe is like you are Scottish, but like now I straight up, because of these like birth records and stuff, like I know where in Scotland and Ireland my ancestors were from.
Have you fact checked the two to see like, oh wait, 23andMe said I was 40% Irish, and this ancestry says I'm like barely Irish at all?
Actually, I haven't, but so far it's definitely seemingly confirmed what I saw in 23andMe. Anybody could kind of assume just by looking at me,
which was half Jewish, half not.
Yeah, English, Irish, Scottish, some kind of UK mixed with some kind of, I guess, what is that, like broadly European Jew type thing? Eastern European,
yeah, like
Jew guy.
Eastern European.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I knew I was Austrian, but this thing says that the town that my like ancestors left from is now part of Poland. So it's not like, I don't know, kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting to me, and not interesting at all to anyone else. But that's why I recommend it, because you can find it out about you, which is good. I also saw that, wait, sorry, one last thing. My great-grandfather spelled his last name Horwitz as recently as like 19, 20 or something like that, like filled out the census and wrote Horowitz. And then
Horowitz.
Yeah, H-O-R-O. And it's just not that.
What do you think? You think your life would be that much different if you're a Jake Horowitz versus a Hurwitz?
I think so. I think it'd be super different.
I wonder if you're related to Dan Gerwich, which is like probably another bastardization of Horowitz.
That's actually when I started at College Humor, my dad asked me to ask Dan something about his like grandfather or something. I forget. We found out we were not related, but it is like this. I think that's essentially what it was. Gordovich.
Yeah, it's all from like the same part of Eastern Europe and then like mistranslated. I was going to ask, is anybody else in your family interested in these results? You say it's only interesting to you. Like, are you telling your mom and dad about it?
I think my mom and dad seem interested. But I'm on like a text thread with my family and I like mentioned some stuff and people said it was cool. So I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's really interesting. It's fascinating to me. No one else. That's why I recommend it. You can find out something about yourself, maybe.
Ancestry.com. I feel like that's like been around since like the 90s, that website.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely not sleek. I wonder, there's a chance that there's like a better one out there. I clicked it from like a New York Times ad or something.
Yeah. It's like classmates.com. What is that one? It's like find out where the guy you went to high school with is now. Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Old banner ads from like the early internet. All right. Solid tip. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I would totally want one of my brothers to do it.
Do you think that there's records that go back far for your family?
I don't know. Because it's very non-American. Like none of us were born in America. So I don't know if that hurts my chances of having records.
I think it does. It seems, I mean, that's like on my dad's side, there was like, obviously they were in some shit in Poland in like the 1900s and there's no records. They don't exist. And then on my mom's side, it's like going back to like the 1500s.
Yeah. It's like, if you came here on the Mayflower, we have everything nice and organized for you. And if you moved here in the last 30 years, good luck.
It's definitely a privileged thing to know where your ancestors came from, but it's interesting if you can do it.
Didn't you say one of your relatives fought in the Civil War?
Yes, I think they did.
Wow.
I think multiple of them did.
Jesus. So part of your family's been in America for that long?
Yeah, I mean, there were people that came to America on my grandma's side and like, and on my grandfather's side. People on my mom's side basically came here in like the 1600s.
Jesus Christ. They were pilgrims.
I mean, at a certain point, it doesn't really matter. Like I'm at my 13th great grandfather in Glasgow, but still kind of cool.
Let's do a quick search for when did pilgrims come to America. 1620 is when the Mayflower arrived.
Okay, 1620 is when the and I'll go back to my furthest ancestor that I could find.
Uh-huh.
Is,
whoa,
he's from England.
He looks like Zac Efron. This guy's really hot, actually. He has acid wash jeans and an 8-pack. This was in the 1700s,
and he can sing.
He has an eyebrow piercing.
This dude straight up was a pilgrim. George Henry Fay. That's my ancestor that left Hampshire, England, and came to
New Hampshire, New England.
He left Hampshire, England, and he died in Essex, Massachusetts in 1655.
Wow. Yeah, that's some pilgrim shit right there.
That's some pilgrim shit.
George Henry Fay. All right, why don't we call this guy who just wrote into our podcast George Henry Fay?
Don't desecrate my 13th great-grandfather with this.
Well, this guy
who's trying to fap while his parents are home or something. I won't have it.
No, this guy's kind of a modern-day pilgrim in a way. So he says, George writes, here's the sitch. I'm 21 and on a 3-year dry spell.
Oh, I do not. That wouldn't happen to George Henry. He was a proud pilgrim, an explorer, an adventurer, a family man.
He does not have the highest self-confidence, and he's rather shy and awkward in social situations. However, when I'm drunk, I'm a smooth man. Oh. I had a girl over at my place at a party recently, but after I have not been able to continue anything with her while sober. Should I just become an alcoholic? I signed up for an improv class to try to break out of my shell. Looking for any ideas on how to better my game. Have you guys always been funny and confident? Or did you have shy years and struggle around new people? And, oh yeah, I just got on this podcast and I'm on episode 97 with Thomas Middleditch. Good stuff.
Dope. Thank you. Man, he's going to have a lot of episodes to listen to before he finds out if we answered the question.
Yeah. So damn. Should he become an alcoholic? I mean, there's something to that. If you're never confident and only confident when you're drunk, if you're always drunk, like, what's the downside to that?
Well, you could ask John George Fay, my great, 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 great grandfather, who actually was an alcoholic and died an early death. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Lost his wife, Mrs. Lucy Fay, in 1645. That's
they know that.
That's
they
real.
Know how, when yeah. when he got divorced, how he died.
They say his last words here on Ancestry.com. I'm a little bitch boy. Wow.
Oh my God.
Don't take
they
the path.
That.
Yeah.
I guess that's a public record.
I think one thing that I would say is that you might think you're smooth when you're drunk. You might think you're smoother than you are when you're drunk. Being drunk yeah. gives you a little bit of confidence, but remember also when you're drunk, people around you are drunk. So it just kind of...
Hopefully.
It's not just about you like being like, I'm a better version of myself when I'm drunk. It's like, oh no, like everything's just a little easier and looser when people are drunk, when there's drinking involved. So I don't know if that like helps that much, but just don't think of alcohol as like this thing that fixes you.
Yeah, and would you say you have more confidence or you're funnier when you're drunk, or has that translated?
Oh, me? Yeah, I'm the man when I'm drunk. And the drunker I get, the cooler I get. One time I was so trashed that I fell asleep on the floor of a frat house, and everyone was like, he's the man, I think. I was passed out, so I don't remember.
Yeah, and everyone else was sober, because this was a Tuesday during finals week.
That's right.
Who's that confident-ass guy who's so funny?
Confidence is attractive. Confidence is what you want. But I don't think that being drunk gives me confidence. I think confidence is something that's there anyway. And alcohol maybe just like lowers like your inhibitions a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't think I was confident. Like, I remember having... to like strike up the nerve to start a conversation with somebody in a social setting, because I always felt like that was everything you do sounds cheesy in some way. So it's like, yeah. You don't want to come up and be like, hey, how are you doing? What's your name? Where are you from? Etc. I never want it to be like predatory.
Yeah. I feel like there's different versions of confidence where like the confidence that I'm thinking about is just like, standing tall, having a good time, and if you get introduced to somebody, being like, I don't know, knowing all the words to say, shaking a hand, not being shy and timid, like in the moment, but like being able to go up and talk to somebody, like, oh yeah, I'll go talk to that group of people. Hey, everybody, how's it going? Like, that's that confidence, like, borders on insane to me. I feel like you and I have been in situations where like we want to talk to people at a bar and we just sort of like sit there and talk about how we're going to do it and if we can do it and never ever end up doing it.
Right. Like trying to like muster up the courage and confidence to approach a group of people we don't know.
But I think that's a nice way to be. Like, too shy to talk to somebody, but if they talk to you, you can hold your own in a conversation. That's the level that I like to be at.
Yeah. Also, it comes, like, age is such an important factor. Like, if you're with someone who's, if you're in a group of people, or if you see a group of people that are younger than you, you feel like, oh, I have the confidence right now because you know, what those guys are 29, I'm 37 now, I can talk to them, what's the big deal? But like when you are 25, you're not seeing right. a lot of like 12-year-olds at a bar, so you never feel the
if you are, you're at the wrong bar. Difference. Yeah, but you got that yeah. like you got that old man confidence. That's what cool. you want. That's what that's you want. Why you want to go out in Dockers.
That's why old people drive so insanely. Like, imagine having the confidence of an 89-year-old. You're just fucking backing out of a driveway. You're like, I don't give a shit. I'm fucking 89. You're 40. That's like the equivalent of me like being nervous to talk to a toddler right now. I'm never nervous to fucking approach a 2-year-old. I'm
like, should be a little nervous.
I'm fucking nice to meet you. Put her there, buddy. Because like, yeah, I'm just like, I want to fucking talk to this person, mano y mano. What's your name? Douglas or some shit?
They can barely talk. I don't think they're like just learning words. They can't talk politics.
And they're shy, you know? You like they're hugging like the mom's leg and you're like, why is this 37-year-old approaching me? Like, I just want to fist bump the little guy. What's his name? Something like that. If I'm trying to strike up a conversation with the mom or whatever.
Are you trying to strike up a conversation?
I feel like I'm on trial here.
You are. This is the people versus Amir Blumenfeld.
Oh my God. I'm sorry for fucking fist bumping.
You annoyed a baby, infant. Sir.
I wanted to give him a high five. Sorry about that. I thought it was a cute thing to do. And suddenly I'm nervous. Now I'm nervous because the judge is older than me.
I thought you were confident.
I am, or I was. I'm wasted. And it's Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. I don't have the fucking confidence to talk to my lawyer.
You know, I do feel like
a 53-year-old.
I feel like this guy, an improv class might help him be confident. Because improv is all about like adapting and yes-anding and communicating with people. And I think a lot of confidence around approaching people comes to like, what am I going to say? That could help.
But you don't have to be drunk all the time. That's dangerous.
Definitely. And there's cute ways to be shy and quiet, stoic, you know?
Yeah, like if you're that cool guy at the bar and you have a fucking book in your back pocket and you're just like, why is that guy there reading at the bar? Oh, sorry, it's just fucking Grapes of Wrath. I haven't dug into this one since high school. And yeah, it's annotated and shit.
It's a dog-eared copy of my Steinbeck novel.
Your Steinbeck novel?
I borrowed it from the library. And it's mine.
You have to return that, by the way.
Excuse me one second. I ordered jalapeno poppers 20 minutes ago, and I'm just wondering where they are.
The cover is coming off your book. You can't return it in this condition. You have to buy it. Well, I can't afford the poppers and the book. I don't even have a library card. I came here to this bar to eat a snack. These are really spicy.
Penthouse falls out from behind the book.
Fuck. I was gonna squeeze one out, and now I'm all fucking spiced out. What did you say your name was?
Do you have ranch? I'm just trying to enjoy my copy of Steinbeck. Do you have ranch for these poppers?
The sauce is so fucking room temp. I really need a refrigerated ranch to go with my Steinbeck.
I chipped my goose on this glass. And I cut my tongue on a toothpick with the poppers.
You don't need a toothpick in the poppers. They're going to fuck. They have structural integrity. Jesus Christ. All right. So I guess that's how you get confidence.
Yeah.
Grow older.
Grow older. Get funnier. Go to the improv class. Good for you.
Be older, funnier, smarter, and holier than thou. And after you're all those things, you won't need another drop of alcohol for as long as you live.
Good man.
Have you been wasted recently? Like, do you still get wasted now that nobody can go anywhere?
I did get kind of drunk. I mean, I've definitely been trashed in quarantine times, but not like I used to, where like we could like go out to a bar and I'd like get like vodka Red Bull and, you know, like be like wild and crazy
energized.
Drunk. It's more like, oh man, I forgot I like didn't eat a big enough dinner and I haven't drank in a long time and I had two whiskeys on a Zoom and now I feel like kind of sloppy like that. That's happened. Not fun. I'm not fun party drunk, but there was one night where I went on like a walk with somebody and got like one of those to-go cocktails and they filled it to the top with whiskey and I got kind of drunk and that was fun.
I wonder if they're doing that in LA. I haven't seen like what you're going to take an Uber to a bar and get a to-go whiskey. I don't think that happens out here.
It's very different. It's not a walk-in city like New York.
No. Or maybe it's happening. I'm just not invited, I guess. That's fine. That makes whatever. Sense. I don't need friends. Not really.
Yeah. You don't really need them. It's good you don't need them. You don't have any, but that's fine.
Well, I want them. I want them is all, but I don't have them.
No, I just think it's cool. You made peace with not having friends. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
You don't need them. You don't have them, and you'll never get them. So that's good. Yeah. That's that you're not fine peace. With that.
No, I'm not. I'm not at peace. I'm at war with not having friends. And I'm waving the white flag. I'm like surrendering. I'm like, all right, end this fucking battle. I want a buddy.
Yeah. Well, you're sort of mean-spirited.
Well, I'm what?
You're mean-spirited and dumb. You're angry right now, and you misheard me.
I'm seething, but I'm smiling through it. I'm grinning and bearing it.
You're crying a little
bit. I'm sad. Yeah, I'm upset.
There you go.
And I accidentally bit my tongue.
Yes, you
did. I ate something a little spicy, and it's getting into the fucking bloodstream, and I don't know if I can have any milk to alleviate it.
This is you at the bar with the Steinbeck novel again.
All right. Thanks for writing in your questions, your theme songs. Keep sending them to ifireyoushow@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
The opening song was Your Song, which I think is another one of those songs that doesn't have the words in the song itself.
What's that? Wait, say that again?
The song is called Your Song, which doesn't come up in the actual song, the lyrics.
Right.
This closing one is the same deal. It's based on a song we talked about that episode called Old Friends. Oh, no, Bookends. Old Friends, they do say Bookends, too. All right, never mind on any of that stuff. But this is a Simon and Garfunkel parody.
Well, then that's great.
And he would want to shout out his podcast, First Date, Worst Date, for he is very proud of it. So thanks to Brian E. Morton for writing this theme song for us.
Hell yeah. Thank you, dude.
And for more of us on a podcast, you can listen to The HeadGum Podcast, new episodes every Friday.
Loving this week's episode.
And more of us on video on patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
We'll be back, of course, next week, as always. And thanks for listening. See ya, everybody.
Later.
Old friends. Old friends. Started a podcast like Dicklings. Send in your questions with luck. You'll have them answered by the pinch end. A chipmunk. Time it was, and what a time it was. A time of loneliness. A time of viruses. Of Zoom conferences.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.